And I am Megan Kamrick here today with you. Susan Lupe is off. And we are here in the studio with people from 516 Arts. And I see that one of you who is on mic four, I just realized this will have to share mics. So I think that will be Jessica and Teresa on this one right there. So sorry about that, folks. And anyway, this they are here to talk about Digital Latin America, which is this amazing show that will be opening soon in downtown Albuquerque at 516 Arts. And it's an outgrowth of the Latin American Forum of the award-winning International Symposium of Electronic Arts that was here in 2012 and produced by 516 Arts. The show will explore the north-south axis of cultural development and exchange between South America, Central America, and the Southwest United States. So I have two of the artists here, and I have Suzanne Sparge, Executive Director of 516, and I have Teresa Buscemi, who is, Teresa, are you the curator?
I'm the Project Manager for Digital Latin America.
Okay, I'm going to start with you and put you on the spot. Can you talk about the show? What are we going to see?
So much of the artwork is very interactive and depends on the viewer's presence to activate it, to affect it. So one of the main things that we want people to feel is that they can really access the work and become part of it, whether it's by entering an environment and really being enveloped by what they're seeing or seeing their reflection in the work or having the work follow them. And it's really very much about accessibility and communicating between audience and artwork, artist, audience. And one of the themes that comes up a lot is communication and connections.
And talk about what happened at IZEA during the Latin American Forum that inspired creating this solely focused on Latin America.
So IZEA has been steadily growing its interest in the Latin American Forum, but when we brought it here, we decided to devote an entire day to presentations focused in Latin American digital media. And it was one of the most successful days of the conference. It was received very, very well. People were very interested in it. We made a lot of really great connections with people all over the world and decided to expand on that and just take that theme and run with it.
So there were a lot of interactive things in IZEA that I remember. Mm-hmm. You would walk up and somehow it would change or alter. The plant followed you. There's a lot of fun things. Mm-hmm. Are there those elements in this one?
It's electronic art. Yeah, it's a similar feel. Some are just videos that you watch and observe. But the way that they're presented is they're large. They're projected very large. The sound is very much a part of it. So it becomes an environment that you're inside of. It removes you from the gallery space necessarily or Albuquerque, and you just become part of the work in that way. Or you have works that will follow you or react to you, show your likeness, things like that.
What are some of the themes that artists are exploring?
I think one of the biggest themes is language and communication, whether it's through visual language or written language. A lot of the work is preserving languages.
Indigenous languages?
Yeah, a lot of indigenous languages. Trying to record and bring back old methods of communicating or recording. And just communication.
And what are the venues for this? This will start June 7th and go through August 30th. So 516 Arts, clearly, but are there other?
Yes, we're the main venue, and it's the main exhibition at 516 Arts, which opens on June 7th. The UNM Art Museum is hosting a piece by Oscar Munoz, and the Albuquerque Museum is also hosting a piece by Elizabeth Cunningham.
Okay, cool. Mm-hmm. Well, we have several of the artists here. Oh, I wanted to ask you, Teresa, where are the artists, like, where are they coming from? Who are they?
Oh, thankfully, we've got artists coming from all over. We have artists from Colombia and Argentina, Peru, Mexico, California, Kansas.
Brazil.
Oh, okay. And we have two of those artists here. So I will go first to Claudia. I'll give you a little bit about you, Claudia Valdez. And you are based here in New Mexico now, but you're originally from Santiago, Chile. You got your undergraduate studies at UC Berkeley in architecture, modern dance, and fine art, and an MFA from Berkeley. Your current research focuses on the study of visual acoustic perception through the lens of neuroscience. Wow, that sounds fascinating. You're an associate professor of electronic arts at UNM, and you were the associate director of the Arts Technology Center within the College of Fine Arts at UNM. Talk a little bit about the piece you're bringing. I know you've been kind of obsessed with all things nuclear, so I guess New Mexico is an appropriate place for you to land, for
yes.
laying the land.
So the piece that will be on exhibition is entitled In the Dream of the Planet, and it's from 2002. It's a video installation that is based on a made-for-television film called The Day After.
I remember that so well.
From
it came out when I was a senior in high school.
And I think I was 11.
But it was like, it was kind of a watershed event. It was probably a bad movie, but anyway, it was a really big deal at the time.
It was a big deal, and I think I was very much sheltered from that at the time. I didn't know anything about this film until I started my project on the history of U.S. nuclear arms, which was following the events of 9/11. And when I came across this film, I was just floored.
Really? What struck you about it? I mean, it's basically, I guess I should tell people who aren't old like I am, it looks at what will happen if we actually have a nuclear war.
Right.
And it focuses on several people.
And it's very effective in its narrative and the visuals that support the narrative, but mostly I find it very psychologically troubling.
Mm. Why? In what way?
It gets under your skin.
Mm-hmm.
It is very successful in evoking a kind of discomfort around a topic that can become very abstract due to its scale. So it really brings it down to the level of the individual and brings that big geopolitical topic home.
I remember one family in the show. See, I guess it really imprinted on me. I mean, they basically live with a missile silo in their backyard, right? It's sort of like...
To survive.
Yeah, right. So they lease their land. It's in Kansas or something.
Yes, it's set in Kansas City.
And they don't even think about it. They see, like, the guys coming to, you know, take care of the missile silo, and all of a sudden, one day, the top blows off and the missile's going out. It was very evocative, I have to say.
Well, recently I've come across the Wikipedia entry, which wasn't developed when I made this film, and it said that I believe about 100 million people saw the original television broadcast in November of 1983, and that there was a lot of concern about the effect of watching the film for the general public, and 1-800 hotlines were opened after the broadcast, and Ronald Reagan saw the film before it was aired. He presented it to his cabinet. It said it had some kind of ripple effect on policy, and there was a lot of individual activism, candle lighting vigils, and so forth that happened as a result of this film. So I found it very moving at the time when I saw it. The more I think about this film, the further I am away from actually having created that work. It astounds me the extent to which an artwork had an effect on the general public.
It was at a time when, of course, when I was deeply involved in these issues, even though I was only in high school, but when Ronald Reagan was elected, the Bulletin of Atomic Scientists, which always had that clock on the front of their newsletter,
doomsday
the doomsday clock, and they moved the hands like a few minutes closer to midnight.
And they did that after 9/11.
I didn't realize that. So that's interesting. I didn't remember that Reagan had showed it to his cabinet, because it's a time in media where we didn't have a billion channels, right? And you had a network. First of all, a made-for-TV movie that dealt with a topic like this, which I'm sure would be impossible to imagine in our current media landscape. But also it had that extra power because we only had like 4 channels.
Right.
So I wonder what would happen today. You have to cull through so much more noise in the media landscape.
Sure.
To have that. So talk about the piece and how this affected what you wanted to do with this film.
So I felt very strongly after seeing the film that I needed to find a way of presenting it to people again, or to those who hadn't seen it. And certainly because of copyright issues, I couldn't mount my own public presentation, so I needed to come up with a different strategy. And what I decided to do was take that entire film and compress it down to 56 seconds through digital means. So the whole film is basically 6 repetitions of that 56-second compressed film. And in each iteration, I go in and do what I call little interventions to tease out either the narrative or topics that echo some of the research that I had been doing at the time on the topic. So it's kind of a flashback sensation for the viewer, among other things.
And talk about, I know you didn't do it specifically originally for this show, but it's in the Digital Latin America show. How do you see it fitting in with the general themes in the show?
Well, certainly I think communication is a big part of this, in the sense of trying to find a way of rebroadcasting and representing to the public as a means of stimulating some kind of dialogue, hopefully. In terms of the Latin America, it's a very interesting question. I've been thinking a lot about that. And I don't, obviously, like the topic itself, if you look at it in a very literal sense, it doesn't scream Latin America. But what I'm thinking more and more about is the influences that I had as a very young artist. And there were a group of Chilean painters that were very much involved in the politics of the time during the 1970s that were extremely influential to me when I was 18, 19, 20 years old. So I think back of that sort of trace of using art as a vehicle to mount discourse or protest, dissent in some sense, that probably left a ripple, mm-hmm. you know, has a ripple effect in how I think and approach topics as an artist.
When did you leave Chile?
When I was 3.
What year was that? Well, sorry. I already said how old I was. No, I'm just curious because I'm trying to slot in the political landscape of Chile. Like,
you know, 1974, 75.
Okay, so after the coup. Is that why your family left?
My immediate family left for different reasons, but I did have family that were very much affected by mm-hmm. The military coup and did have to leave Chile.
Okay. And you have other work that you've explored nuclear topics with the Trinity site. And
yes, I spent about a decade mining this topic. And then when I moved to New Mexico in 2006, it was like the floodgates open.
I guess.
So it was fantastic because, of course, this is the birthplace of the bomb, mm-hmm. and it was very stimulating to my work.
And what are you exploring in terms of the neuroscience component? I was fascinated.
I think a lot of my work has been psychologically motivated, and I'm very interested in the way visual and sonic stimulation might be able to direct attention. And so what I'm hoping to do in collaboration with the Mind Research Network is to look at actual brain data, EEG and fMRI data, of subjects under different visual and sonic stimulation.
Interesting. If you're just joining us, this is Women's Focus on KUNM. I'm Megan Kamrick in for Susan Lupe, and I'm talking with artists and curators of the new show opening soon at 516 Arts here in Albuquerque called Digital Latin America. And I've been speaking with Claudia Valdez, and I wanted to turn to Jessica, is it Angel? Angel?
Yes,
Angel.
Angel.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. And Jessica, you are, let me give you a little bio, a visual artist. You're living and working between Bogota, Colombia, and New York, and recent upcoming projects aim to foster cross-disciplinary initiatives. You were invited to represent Colombia as an artist in residence at the 2014 Vancouver Biennale, and you will develop, for that project, be developing a project enabling forms of collaboration among sciences, philosophy, music, art, and new media, which is very cool. Mm-hmm. And your work's been exhibited internationally in Bogota, New York, Miami, Washington, Rosario, La Paz, and Mexico City. You're doing this huge installation?
I am, yes.
Talk about that. What is that?
Well, it is a great endeavor. It's a 15-day project, so we are actually in day 5 at this moment. We created an open call for artists and, you know, assistants to help out. So it's an internship. We opened up 4 positions. So it's 5 of us working for 15 days. We're taking over pretty much the large, biggest wall in the gallery. And we're taking over the floor and part of the front wall. So the whole idea is to create this immersive sort of collage installation. It's very digital looking, but the whole means of it is that it's handmade. So what I want to bring to this show is the sort of traditional techniques, traditional media from the digital perspective. But it's all hand done. So
oh, that's really an interesting juxtaposition.
Uh-huh,
that's very
exactly.
cool. And why are you trying? You're trying to foster collaboration among all those different kinds of fields. Mm-hmm. Why is that important?
Well, on one hand, because I'm creating these large spaces, and I'm sort of thinking of space as this dual or multiple entity, let's say. So the gallery provides the, I would say, the static form of space, which is the building. And then with these collaborations, I'm trying to activate the space with what would be the dynamic form of space. So it is a collaboration is with music, filling the space with music, filling spaces with talks, for example, you know, having different things happening within the work.
And talk about how this particular work sort of fits into the overall kind of idea of the show.
It fits, I think, very well in terms of it being this imaginary space that is inspired in the micro level of computers. So I'm giving myself the chance to imagine, sort of if you are sightseeing in the super highways of information sort of thing. Mm. Like if you could be a really teeny living megabyte that can see what's happening all in that really small world. So what I'm trying to do is invert the scale of the really small, making it really large. So I aim to create an effect of people feeling really small in this really large, teeny world sort of thing.
I'm resisting.
If it makes sense.
No, I'm resisting the impulse to talk about Tron.
Yes, definitely. Yeah,
but
absolutely.
It's an interesting idea.
Yeah.
Trace is laughing.
It is a reference.
On a light cycle, so.
It is a reference also, you know, sci-fi movies mm-hmm. and things like that. Neuromancer. Yeah.
Very cool.
Uh-huh.
You will be doing an artist talk, actually,
I
right?
Will.
On,
yes.
I don't have the date.
On Monday? This Monday?
Oh, this coming Monday.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
You're invited.
Oh, all right. What yes. time is it and where?
It's at 5 p.m. Mm-hmm. at Arts Lab.
At so, UNM's campus?
Yes.
It is.
Oh,
okay.
Exactly.
It's a members only talk. So if you're a member of 516, you're invited. And if you're not a member, become a member at our website.
All right. There you go.
A great way to be part of the group of supporters that make all this happen.
Oh, very cool. Mm-hmm. I'm going to play a couple messages and a song, and then we'll come back and talk about some of the other events around the show. So you are listening to Women's Focus. I'm Megan Kamrick. And stay tuned. We'll be right back. That was Malamania, and they are a local group of women that fuses Latin American rhythms and Afro-Cuban beats, and they're going to be playing at the very cool block party that will kick off the Digital Latin America Show at 516 Arts, and I'm here with Suzanne Sparge, who's the executive director of 516 Arts, Teresa Buscemi, who is I want to call you the curator. You're resisting that title of the show.
I didn't do this alone. But
oh, okay.
The project manager.
The project manager mm-hmm. and Claudia Valdez and Jessica Angel, two artists in the show. So, Suzanne, talk about the block party.
Well, that's going to be a great time for the whole community to come out and celebrate, meet international artists, and get international and local artists together. There'll be lots of performance with music and dance, and there'll be artist projects featured, a lot of stuff for kids and the whole family, and some terrific Latin American food trucks. So it's going to be a great celebration on Central between 5th and 6th.
And so that's June 7th.
Yes,
okay.
It's the opening night.
Okay.
So people can wander in and out of the gallery and around the block to experience it all. But it's Saturday, June 7th from 5 to 9 p.m.
Very cool. And so you'll have music. You'll also have all these projects featured in it. Right, including, Jessica, you have another project just for the block party.
Yes.
Global Optics. What is that?
It's pretty much based in the same concepts that I was describing before. This one is a mural that's actually printed. It's like a banner. And I'm installing it, and then I'm video projecting over the mural. So the mural is black and white, and then the video is going to bring color and movement to it. And it has to do, again, with that idea of what's static and what is dynamic. So let's say the superhighway of information, if you see the image, which mm-hmm. is the sort of the image we're using to promote the party, mm-hmm. You will find these perspective-based spaces. And the video sort of acts as what's happening, all the information that is flowing through. So that is what I kind of want to talk about with it.
Oh, very cool. Mm-hmm. And this is also, you're having, in addition to the exhibit that goes through the 30th, there's a symposium. I don't know, Suzanne
yes.
or...
And on Saturday and Sunday, June 7th and 8th, at the Albuquerque Museum, there's a symposium where many of the artists will be speaking, and we have some very special keynote speakers who are flying in from around the country and the world. So it's a great opportunity for people to experience something truly international right here in Albuquerque, and mm-hmm. they can register for it through our website as well. But it's Saturday and Sunday during the day at the Albuquerque Museum.
You know, I just interviewed David Campbell, who used to be chief administrative officer for the city. He's in the Foreign Service now, and he's, you know, now in Ecuador. But he actually said Albuquerque's a very international city.
Yeah, I saw that interview you did with him, and I actually sent it around to folks because I felt like Digital Latin America, this project, is very timely with everything he was saying. And I think that truly Albuquerque is international, and we're poised at a very particular place and time in relation to the north and the south here in this hemisphere, and it's a really an amazing place to be, to have all these things coming together.
Teresa, you were outed in the break as also being an artist.
Yes.
How is that informing how you're as project manager?
Well, I also work with digital media in my own artwork, and a lot of the artists that we invited and who are participating are people that I've looked to for inspiration, and it's kind of amazing to have studied their work, looked to it for conceptual inspiration or technical inspiration, and to have admired these people and now have their work being exhibited here and actually be communicating with them. And it seems kind of silly because with all this social networking and all of this, so many ways to connect with people, I could have just reached out at any point, but it seemed like coming to them with this idea and having somebody say yes, they would love to participate, it was really amazing. It's really rewarding to see this coming together. I'm very excited for it.
So for more information, go to 516arts.
Yes, 516arts.org. And just one other thing I wanted to say about the project is that it's given us the opportunity to really feel like we're part of an international artist community. So for artists that are working here in Albuquerque to be side by side with artists from many different countries is just a special opportunity to expand the community internationally. And yeah, so I encourage people to come out for the symposium and the block party. And the exhibition lasts all summer through August 30th.
And there'll be events throughout the summer.
And there'll be a lot of community events throughout the summer, film screenings and other exhibits and workshops and different kinds of events. And then the main exhibition has these satellite pieces at the UNM Art Museum, which opens Friday, June 6th from 6 to 8 with Oscar Munoz's work. And we encourage people to come out for that as well, meet the artists and participate while they're here and get to know the artists. It's a really great group of people.
Isn't there a tour as well? Did I see that?
Yes, we have tours. We're actually teaming up with the Currents New Media Festival in Santa Fe, which happens for the following 3 weeks in June. We realized we're both doing international new media art in June in New Mexico. So we published our guides together. It's a shared publication, and we've done some shared advertising and outreach. And one of the programs we're doing is just to do tours of our exhibitions in both cities. So if you go to our website, you can see the rail runner time to go take the train and have a tour in Santa Fe, and for Santa Fe folks to come down and take the train to Albuquerque and have a tour at 516 Arts with Teresa. And one thing also I'd like to say about Teresa's role in this is she's very modest, but she's played such a leadership role. And although there's no one curator, we worked with a planning group from Latin America and the Southwest. She played a strong curatorial role in herding all of the cats and working really closely with the artists and making it all work together. So I'm very proud of Teresa playing this leadership role.
It's very cool. Congratulations.
Thank you. I'm really proud of this project. I'm very excited, and it's amazing to be a part of this.
I think it's great you're fostering these partnerships between Santa Fe and Albuquerque because, as you know, sometimes never the twain shall meet.
Yeah.
And they should meet more.
Definitely. So, yeah.
Well, great. You can find out more at 516arts.org. And I've been talking with Suzanne Sparge, 516 Arts, and Teresa Buscemi, and Jessica, I have too many people in front of you, Angel, thank you, and Claudia Valdez, two of the artists in the Digital Latin America show. Thank you so much for coming
by. Thank you
by.
For having thank us, you. Megan. It's great to be here.
And we'll play one more Malamania cut.